All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We're sponsored by Robin Lewison, Healthmark Enterprises. How are you, Robin?
Well, how are you?
I'm fantastic. We've got some phenomenal guests here. Edith Pierce is in the house. Hello, Edith.
Hi, Joe. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Paul Robinson is back in the house. How
Hi,
are
Joe.
You? It's good to have you.
Good to see you again. Thanks.
So here's the thing. They say woman's got the power, right? Well, it's never been truer than on this show right now. It is an exciting day. It's a great broadcast. I was excited about being here.
Really?
We're going to talk about.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because.
Or were you just scared?
Listen, Robin, I'm nervous around you when it's just you. Now there's no way to win this. I can't. There's no debates. I'm winning in this room. 1-on-1, 3-on-1, whatever. But I'm excited because we're going to talk about women in the law. We've got two fantastic attorneys, but also, women in business, because we're not only, here with women professionals, but also women firm owners and a woman business owner. So I think it's a phenomenal discussion, I'm just excited about it. So if you would, Edith Pierce, not that the Delaware Valley needs any introduction, but let's remind them anyway about yourself and the practice.
Sure, Joe. I'm Edith Pierce. That's P-E-A-R-C-E. I own the Pierce Law Firm, PC, in Philadelphia and offices in Cherry Hill, New Jersey as well. We handle all personal injury matters, especially with serious injuries to our clients. And we are here every day to make sure that our clients are well taken care of so that they can just work on getting better from their injuries, and we take everything from there.
Now, personal injury, there's a wide array of that's a wide scope of types of injuries. Cover just a few of them.
Sure. Sometimes it's as most basic as an automobile accident, although most automobile accidents are not basic. And, serious construction accidents. There are many different kinds of truck accidents. There are slip and falls. There are other kinds of unusual fall type injuries. Sometimes it deals with like a defective building, a defective sidewalk, a defective utility. So there can be any combination of circumstances where our clients were unfortunately injured as a result of the negligence of somebody else.
And also product liability.
And product liability, because that product can be just as dangerous.
Yeah, no question about it. And so there's a wide array. Paula, workers' compensation, reintroduce yourself to our listeners and talk a little bit about yourself, your background, and the firm.
Okay, I'm Paula Robinson, owner of Robinson Law. I specialize in workers' compensation. I represent injured workers. And again, there can be a variety of injuries, just like with the personal injury that happened to people, but in the workplace. And I represent those injured workers.
And so what ends up happening is when it comes to workers' comp, it's a no-fault type situation. So it doesn't have to necessarily be, it can be. And we're going to get into that where you and Edith, your firms would work on, similar cases together. And when it comes to workers' comp, it's basically a no-fault statute. So you're in a situation where if you're swinging a hammer in work and you accidentally hit your own hand it's your fault. Obviously, it's an accident. You didn't hit your hand on purpose. But in the case that, it's your fault, it's still covered.
Yes, it is no fault. And unlike the personal injury, with workers' comp, there's no pain and suffering. So the benefits that the clients can get if their work injury is accepted are wage loss benefits to make up for the wages they're losing because they're not at work, and then also their medical bills that are related to the work injury.
And as far as the firm goes, how long have you been, how long ago did you start your own firm? And, talk about that.
I've been out on my own over 10 years now, and I did defense work in the past for other firms in Philadelphia, And then I decided to go out on my own. I had done claimants work very long ago when I worked and lived in Pittsburgh. And I just wanted to get back into representing the injured worker.
Absolutely.
So I opened my doors in August of 2011.
Awesome. Well, we have some success stories in the house. And Robin Lewison, Premier Medical Coordinator and Director, if you would remind our listeners about, you know, yourself and, of course, your business.
I'll just say one thing. Every time it comes time to pay taxes, my accountant tells me, he's like, you know, female entrepreneur, came up with an idea. It was definitely very gray when I started. And he likes to remind me that I'm actually a success, which I think is...
She's a trail burner is what she is.
Trailblazer or trail burner?
Right.
Burner.
Not a blazer, because you burn right through it.
Oh, yeah. And it took forever for people to understand what I did. Even my parents.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? I get the concept immediately. And I do. I sit there and I say to myself,
okay. I think because we're in the business.
Yeah, but a medical coordinator who handles all the medical coordination for
injured people.
Right, for injured people.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because, you know, I used to do marketing for two large medical groups, and they picked the doctors I had to work with. And even as young as I was, I just knew there was something amiss about some of these doctors. So when I went into my own business, that was the greatest thing, is that I was able to choose the doctors and medical providers that I wanted to work with. And, it's very empowering. And some people might call it something else when I choose my medical.
Well, we don't have to go in that.
But that's another show late night. That language, this is FCC regulated, right?
Well, okay. Edie and I talk about that all the time. Yeah. Like if it was a man.
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
They'd pat you on the back.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. But it's interesting. You know, those are the things that, you know, that we're going to talk about. That the actual path. To get you as where you are. I mean, Edith, how long have you had your firm?
I opened my firm in 2002 after having worked for defendants and insurance companies for a number of years before that. So it is now almost, can you believe this, 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm entering my 20th year of my own firm.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And, you know, over time my firm has grown and I love it. And it just
And you just moved into a new office, beautiful office.
Moved into a new office.
Where's the new office?
We're at 1701 Walnut now, sixth floor. Got to build it out all our own way.
Wow.
All my own designs.
It was.
Well, Edith, let me just take a shot at this. You were very blasé about it and you didn't.
No, she has the most amazing conference room table.
Oh, thank you.
I like that table.
Yes. I'm just trying to take a shot. You weren't very particular about much, were you?
Not at all. No, I did not pick every piece of artwork on the wall.
Right.
Nope. I did not.
You stopped by on occasion.
Nope.
Exactly. But you know, having said that, the pathway, really, as we know, male, female, no matter, you know, doesn't matter. And what's amazing about this, the team in this room right now, you're not only entrepreneurs, you're not only professionals, but you're, in a sense, sole proprietors. In other words, these aren't partnerships that you would end with 5, 6, 7, 8 people at a time. These are, you know, individual businesses that you started on your own. And, you know, so you were, you say.
And that's what makes the three of us so unique, is that we each have built our firms, our businesses from the ground up, which is unique in that we did not rely on anybody else to develop our business models, or in fact to how we would control our businesses. And that is both difficult and liberating all at the same time.
Very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I always say you have to work for me. You really have to want to work. I mean, it's
true.
Well, you know, you want people that are going to exude your.
Well, they has to exude my work ethic, but you also have to meet the criteria, because I still don't think anybody does what I do. To the extent that I do it. I mean, a lot of people have tried, but I mean, we're talking to clients all day long, and we have that fine balance between talking to the attorney and the doctors, because they really don't have the same DNA.
It is different.
Well, it's interesting, though, because it's a personal...
It's philosophically different.
What is amazing about your business is its personal care and coordination and very detailed. And
it's also morphed. So when I first started, it wasn't to the extent it is now. And it's going through all these years and learning exactly what the attorneys need and when they need it and how they need it that we have developed into what we are now.
Sure. Well, it's interesting because I was a part of a partnership, several in the hospitality business. I will tell you this, man. You know, there's pluses in a partnership where, you know, different people have different strengths. Okay. However, there's also, you know, fallbacks also where different personalities, the next thing you know, everybody's got an idea. And one of the things I discovered when I was in my nightlife partnership is every new, we would do new partnerships on different business models. They had to make the same mistake. No matter if you show them the scar on the hand from touching the hot kettle, they need to do it themselves. And now you have to suffer through it. The great thing about having your own firm and your own business is obviously that's not the case. At the same time, I'll say to Paula, you know, you're not looking at anybody but that person in the mirror when, you know, especially at the beginning when the resources are low and you're out there not only representing the clients but marketing the business and paying the bills.
Yes.
You talk about that when you realized at the beginning, okay, this is a big step. Everybody's got to, you know, some of those moments where was this the right move? How'd you stick with it?
Well, it was strange for me when I first started out because I had so much confidence and faith in myself that doubt really didn't even enter my mind.
Awesome.
And when I look back at that, I would, you know, sometimes there are trying times in your business. And as you go, you learn and things change and, you know, clients, you know, come and go and everything just is in a flow. And you have to learn to deal with that. But honestly, when I first started out, I went for it and I didn't have any doubt.
You know, it's really interesting because in looking back, and I was, you know, this is 20 years ago, so I was rather young when I did open my business. It was me, myself, and I, and 14 clients. And so it's interesting because in retrospect, and when people ask me questions, I think to myself, wow, I was really self-confident in doing this. Yeah. Did I just really not know what was coming up in the future that I didn't have to worry about it?
I totally feel that, and
you just do, but you have to have the right level of motivation and the right amount of
the drive.
And this is a word that comes from my father's deceased. I love him dearly. Stick-to-itiveness. That was his word. He's like, it is so important to have stick-to-itiveness. Yeah. And so when you get knocked down, you get back up again and you have your stick to it.
You know, I once and you ladies will agree. I was once talking to an attorney, and I talk to attorneys all day long, and she was very upset and she cried in the office in front of one of the partners. And I said, I just wish you wouldn't have done that. And she said, why? I'm like, because there's no crying.
There's no crying in baseball.
I don't think I was like channeling that movie, but I'm like, there's just no crying. I don't care if you have to go into the bathroom. I don't care if you have to walk around the block, but there's just no crying. We don't get that. And, you know, you can't cry. Right.
Well, it's interesting. I remember my brother was my partner. We had a silent partner in the house. And I remember a month in. And I remember this location that we had, and it's a monster location. The business turned out to be a 14-year windfall. It was incredible, right? But I remember I had never been in business before. Well, we were in it briefly, and then we moved it downtown. And I was nervous. I said to my brother, I'm like, what do you think here, right? Because our marketing had not yet kicked in. Until New Year's Eve, then the world changed. However, he said to me, you know, I said, what do you think we should do? This was 20 some years ago. I said, do you think we should sell it? He goes, that would be the dumbest thing in the history of the world, right? It was just a fear that was kicking in on
me. Yeah,
And I had never succeeded at that area. I've always succeeded in the things I wanted to do, but I didn't have that rent at you know, and those $20,000 a week worth of bills and all those things building up. We had to go to our partner and said, we need you know, rent money this month, but you know, next month, and thank God for New Year's Eve, it took off like there was no tomorrow.
Awesome.
But listening to the strength in this room is just impressive because.
Well, you know, Joe, when I started out, like over the first, I don't know, 10 years of my practice, I think those calls have stopped now. Maybe you say no enough and people hear it, but I constantly got calls from firms
asking
me to come over here, join our group, head up this department for us. And I got those calls many, many times. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't leave to open my own business to then
turn it over to you.
That's not why I did this.
Yeah.
So, and I think that was honestly difficult for people to understand because sometimes the perspective was, oh, you're doing great on this case, but they think that everything is limited. They don't understand the breadth of what you do.
Yeah.
Or, because of course you don't show it either because it's not none of their business, right?
Sure.
So the breadth of what you do doesn't get seen, but someone will see one individual case. And that leads them to think, well, maybe we can get you to come over and we can steal that energy.
Let me guess, most of them were men that were contacting
you. Oh, you know.
Well, listen, by the way.
Yeah, because, you know, when we go to these workers' comp parties, let's call them that, or events, we really can count on one hand, at least I can, the amount of women in the room. I'm serious.
Often.
Yeah.
Especially
very often.
Owners.
Maybe one and a half hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Often. You know, we all have things that are going on in our lives that are not our business. And everybody does, whether you're male or female. But sometimes I think disproportionately women allow the other things going on in their lives, whatever it may be, to permit them to not engage in the business end of things. And I think it's really important to find that personal balance. Everybody's got a balance, wherever it is, and no two people have the same balance.
Yeah.
But wherever that balance is, it's really important to find it so that you have the ability to grow in every aspect of your life.
You know what's interesting about that? I talked to a guy, a male attorney, and he's a partner now somewhere, but he told me he left a firm that he was making a good living at and all those things for his own firm. And when he realized what he gave up, he immediately panicked and happened to get a call from somebody almost simultaneously and took it and went with it. Took it because I think it's in a lot of ways, it's the character and the person, the fact that, a lot of individuals, men or women, you know, especially when you're an attorney, you talk about a defense firm and you're getting a weekly paycheck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's amazing about when women do it is the lack of individuals and support they probably have you probably as women have access to of women that have done the same thing. Although there's a lot of them, if you add them together, they're far and few between.
Yeah.
In regards to actually. Probably meeting somebody. I mean, if you count everybody in the United States, I'm sure it's a bit. But my point is the fact that you're the trailblazers, and it's a lot of times because women weren't given opportunities.
We're burners.
Yeah, we're burners. We're burners.
But I mean, think
that's
about that.
I use that word more.
I like that.
But I think Joe hit it on the head. I mean, it's the initiative. It's the work ethic. I know for very early on, even up until last night at 9:30 when a neurosurgeon called me, because I called him and that was when he could call me back while I'm picking up the phone. And I think that made a difference throughout my career is that I had to work harder
mm-hmm.
and different. And
definitely.
Because it was my own business. So if I had to work on the weekends.
But before we do that, before we go into that, I want to say one thing. Greatness is not always born out of an easy past. In other words, Tom Brady, there's somebody, Tom Brady was cut. He was a sixth round passed over. Okay. Well, my point is, I know we're Eagles fans here. I get it. But my point is, Robin, you're one of the feistiest people I know. If I was in a bar fight,
yes,
I'd be like,
is.
Hold on, buddy. I'm calling Robin Lewison right now. We're going to win this. But my point is, talk about the experiences in your life that have caused you to say, listen, taken for granted. Yeah, you know, the honey comment, like you mentioned.
There was a doctor. He's passed away, Dr. Michael Avalone. And he was like my second job. And he hired me to do marketing and to do management and everything. And he used to send me out because back then you could joint venture. And doctors could joint venture. They can't do it now so much. But he would send me out to meet with the doctors that were in the group with him. So I come back and he's like, okay. He's like, tell me how it went. So I told him that one of the doctors said something inappropriate to me. Well, he got on the phone with me and he made me sit there and listen. And he reamed the guy out. And then he hung up the phone. This is a doctor. I mean, he was an amazing man. But he said to me, he says, don't ever be afraid of a doctor. He says, they put their pants on just like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't want you ever to be afraid. And that has stuck with me. And I'm friendly with his daughter. And I think on the anniversary of his death, I wrote something. And it was such a huge lesson.
Awesome.
That's why I can back you up in a bar fight.
You're darn right. And by the way, Edith Pierce would be right up there, and I'm sure. I would not mess with Edith.
She's backing me up.
Paula, talk about maybe some experiences in your life. You know, I mean, even if when you were younger, where maybe somebody.
I have a funny one.
Please, let's do it.
When I first started practicing, I did some defense work. I worked for Hyatt Legal Services. I don't know if you ever heard of them. Joel Hyatt out of Ohio created the service. So that was my first job. And we were basically to take everything that walked in the door. So there was, at the time I lived in Pittsburgh, and it was over the holidays, and the police had a sting operation, and my guy was in the Navy, and he picked up what he thought to be a prostitute. Well, it was a police officer. So we went to his...
I've never heard that story before, though, by the way.
So we went to his first hearing, and the room was packed. There was just a ton of people before this magistrate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up with him, and he was very tall and large person. And here I am, 5'2",
right.
Maybe 100 pounds back then. And the magistrate looked at him and he said, you know, you have a right to an attorney. And I said, I am his attorney. And he said, oh, I thought you were his girlfriend.
Oh,
that's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
you know what's in, I mean, and we've heard, I've heard stories like that, the honey type stories and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, biggest mistakes.
It's the problem is that there are stereotypes.
Yeah,
that you have to break, even in law. And for instance, for me, one of my experiences, and I am not in any way disparaging any kind of practice of law, but we're in litigation, and there are not a lot of women in litigation. There just aren't, and there certainly aren't that many that own their firms. I mean, there's less women in litigation than in other kinds of law, and there's way less people who are women who own litigation-based firms. So when I first opened my firm, I was at certain, I'll call them events. and they're like, oh, congratulations, you opened your firm. Are you doing domestic work? And
what's domestic work?
Like divorce.
Divorces and child support and things of that nature.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no, I do litigation. I deal with all personal injury and all different kinds of litigation, and this is what I do. And literally, I would see the same people 3 months later. Oh, how's that practice going? You're doing domestic work, right? This literally went on for years. Years. It's just, why can it not be processed that, yes, I'm a young woman, but I am not doing what you think I should be doing. So, and this was men and women, mind you. So it just was not the mold.
It must be even more
annoying.
Annoying.
It made me kind of angry.
No, but I'm just saying, when a woman does it, in other words, they're like, oh, she can't, you know what I mean? She's not going to, she can't be doing personal injury or something like that. It must, I remember I used to deal with, when I had my nightclub, I used to deal with promoters. And either way, when you're dealing with radio promoters or you're dealing with club promoters, they want everything, okay? I had this one woman, and I had a ton of respect for her. But, man, she reminded me of Columbo, and I'll tell you why. did you ever see when Columbo was leaving, and he went, oh, one more thing?
Yes. Right?
You with knew that she raincoat. Was,
I'm telling you, my blood pressure. I had some of the longest negotiations in the world with her. But and by the way, she was part of a team, okay? They delivered like there was no tomorrow. They were big time. But her brother was a big record company guy. He worked, I forget his name, but he was a big time in the music business. And she had her stuff together. And I knew, and I'd have it. And after the hour and a half conversation was over, okay, we set the date for the event. We got the door deal. And there's always, in that business, they want a piece of the bar, right? And, and I used to have a theory. My theory was this. I respect hard work. Okay, we all do. But you have to be able to deliver. So if you come in and say, I worked all over it. We got 20 people in the house. I can't help you. What do you want me to do? They delivered. But I would be waiting for that turnaround. Like Columbo, when she got that, it was like a doorknob thing, and she turned around. But I just, of all the promoters, she was amongst the best. And I really respect that. I love strong women. I love partnering and I love teaming up with people. Somebody that says I got the ball. You know what I mean? And you know it's disturbing to me. Somebody once said something, a male figure, in front of a woman that I was partners with. We were doing a broadcast. To this day, now I didn't say anything because it was her business relationship. But to this day. In other words, it steamed me like there's no tomorrow. Tell you what, we're going to go to break. We're going to have more from the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show after the break.
Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with a top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better. Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now, more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563 1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises. Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show, sponsored by Robin Lewison, Healthmark Enterprises. Edith Pierce and Paula Robinson are our guests. This show is a fascinating show. Edith owns the Pierce firm, P-E-A-R-C-E.
A Pierce Law Firm.
Personal injury firm, a successful personal injury firm. Paula Robinson owns the Robinson Law.
Yes.
A woman-owned firm, and of course, Robin Lewison owns Healthmark Enterprises, a woman-owned business, all successful businesses that have been around for a decade or more, and it's fascinating, it's inspiring, and certainly, it's a show that everybody should be listening to, but young women should understand that anything's possible. And I'll say this, it's not easy whether you're a woman or a man. How about this? It's not easy whether you got three or four or five partners, or let alone doing it yourself. But these women have done it
For the longest time, I did my job or my business by myself.
Which means you built a business.
Which means I built a business. And then I remember when I got my first assistant.
You know what's interesting about your situation? It's a prototype. But
you know what's crazy is it's right. He's correct. It's a prototype. And I've been approached several times to duplicate it. But they won't duplicate it unless I'm a part of it, which is a good thing. And it's good for my ego, but a bad thing for duplicating it.
Well, that's one of the issues having... your own business that's the story of my life in a sense, because I would like to duplicate myself also, but it's very hard. But having said that, let's talk about as a business progresses, because as somebody who's doing it, on your own and building it, there are different stages of a business and marketing it and doing all those things. Most important element, Edith, in accomplishing and going over those hurdles, because when you got next thing you got stage one, things are going great. Next thing you know, you're going to stage two. There's different stages of a business before it starts to
In law, I always tell young people I bring into my firm, and I strongly believe in bringing in young associates, and I have higher young people in high school to work, and I try to give them some, ideas along the way of how to, develop business and how to work and the work ethic and things along those lines. But I think that what is most important in law, on top of, smarts, you got to be smart. You got to understand the law. You got to apply the law. You got to understand the facts. You have to be willing to put the time in to know each client's individual situations. Those make the difference. But your personal credibility is something that you can't ever compromise on. And not that that's good English, because it's not meant to be. It's true. You cannot compromise on that. So it's how you do a case, and it's how you represent yourself both to your clients and to your opposing counsel, if there is a referral counsel or anybody, because those are the networks where you will see the fruition of your efforts. Because if somebody's happy with their representation, they're going to refer their neighbors and their friends.
That's true.
If opposing counsel respects how you handled a case, well, the next case they get assigned, they will understand to both, to treat you and to take you seriously and to take your client's situation seriously. And additionally, I can tell you that I've had many opposing counsel call me up when they got a case that they wanted me to represent them, their person. because they respected how I handled an individual person's case. Because in our world, each person is an individual. You're not a number. You're not, you know, one more widget. You're not one more thing or object or sale.
File number.
You know, right. Mm-hmm. Right. You're an individual. And everybody's case is different. And it's so important. And when people get the respect that they deserve and you give it to them and you give it to them honestly, then that's what helps you create a business.
Paula, you're at what point did you realize that this thing was going to, you know, it was going to happen. In other words, you went into business. Mm-hmm. And how long did that take?
I knew
you were going to make it no matter what.
Yeah.
But at what point did you say, okay, we're over the hill there.
We're never over the hill.
We're not that way. Hold on. How about this? Over the hump.
Yeah. Paula, throw something at
me. Give me that water bottle. Yeah. I think it was about 6 or 7 months, honestly.
Wow.
That happened pretty rapidly.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
It was sink or swim.
But in your business, Robin, you're also, at what point did you, you were getting so much work, at one point you had to start hiring employees.
Well,
and now you're growing, you're balancing payroll. I mean, that's
I think, I mean, in the beginning, I did everything myself. And, you go through the time where you're building the business. And then things even out, and you know, you have to start, you know, I call it morphing, because my business sort of morphed as I got to know each attorney. Every attorney has different wants and desires. You cannot work for attorneys or work with attorneys and think that they're all the same.
You
cannot.
Isn't that the
and
truth?
What's unique about Robin's business is that she gets what we have to do twofold. Because whereas we're representing an individual and we're doing everything we can for that individual,
right.
Robin is actually she's doing it threefold.
Yeah.
Because she has the client, she has the lawyers, and she has the doctors.
Yeah.
So when you talk about having to really understand and really get to know the person.
Right.
Like, we're getting to know each of our clients individually, but Robin gets to know the clients.
Yeah.
She gets to know the lawyers, and she gets to know the doctors.
And you're dealing with all kinds of personas.
That is a trifecta of effort.
I know. We just hired a new coordinator, Samantha, and she comes with a ton of work comp experience, MPI. But I really had to give her a cheat sheet as to every single attorney. And it's really about wants and desires. And, this is how this attorney likes this is how that attorney, the types of doctors that this attorney wants to use. I mean, every attorney is different. If you don't know your product, which is the attorney, in my business, you will not be successful. And if you think that they're all the same, they are not. Even if they're in the same firm, they're not.
Right. And that's what's different than like selling an item, because the item is the item. You're just selling it to different people. Maybe it gets modified in some way or whatever. But when you're dealing with individual personalities and wants and needs and relationships and all that on a daily basis, that's a lot of management, personal management. And that's what I think distinguishes the three of us and how we run our businesses.
I also think the fact that we are easily accessible. Like,
yes.
The other day you called me, you needed something. And then this morning you called about that one case just to tell me, you gave me an update. But I mean,
by the way, she's pointing at me, people, and I'm really good. I'm joking.
I mean, I got a phone call yesterday from an attorney. A client called, and it was all about medical. And he's like, I just don't know what, I don't know what to tell this client. And it was very convoluted. But I'm like, let me call the doctor. because you know, I mean, with workers' comp, you know, it's different sometimes than PI because A, this could be their first injury. B, they're not on comp and they're not getting a check. C, they're in pain. So, like, I like to have my ducks in a row, but I am not above calling the client and saying, hey, what's up?
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah. You can't be afraid.
I know.
Of your own clients and your own contacts. Right. And so many people sometimes are.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Because let's be real. Some of the clients get angry.
People get upset when they're injured and hurt.
Exactly.
And they're frustrated.
And they're frustrated.
I just don't like when they curse at me. I really don't like that.
Right.
And I have asked people, okay, I get it that you're upset. I get that you're angry. I get that you're injured. But could you just not say that?
Dial it back a bit there.
Paul, talk about
your style when you're dealing with clients and you're handling a situation like that. Because with a work injury, I can only imagine. When somebody gets injured on a job, they've done everything they can to accommodate the boss and the employer because, hey, where do I go? You know, I'm injured. I've been here 15 years. I mean, obviously, you know, you value me. I've made you a lot of money and I can't, you know, and all of a sudden a month and 6 weeks down the road, they're not getting the reciprocal treatment. You know, they're not getting it what they expected and they must call you in a total, you know, panic or at least depressed about not being able to believe what's going on.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I answer my own phone and I do all the work myself. So they don't have to deal with anybody else but me. They don't have to repeat their story to five people. I listen. I'm there. They know I'm there. I return phone calls promptly, at least by the end of the day, if they don't get me. And I get a lot of clients who feel just so distraught and cheated. It's like I've done all this good and now I'm hurt and I need taken care of and they're just tossing me aside. I hear that a lot. And besides being in physical pain, they're really mentally hurting. So it's important to let them talk and for me to listen and give them options and let them know that, you know, there's hope in this situation and in life there are always options. So it's not just handling the case and knowing the law and doing what you have to do as far as filing the correct petition or defending a petition. You have to listen to the person. They're a person. Yeah. They're a human being.
Yeah. I mean, and having said that, what you just said is so amazing and it applies to so many people. But in many cases, the individuals at this table right now, none more than the three of you. And I'll tell you why. You just said it. You could know the law. You could be go getter and, you know, you might know it, but if you don't have that understanding or passion to really be able to treat that person with tender love and care or whatever it is they need, sometimes Robin, you know, somebody has to get a hold of themselves when they're talking to you like that. Because it's not productive in any way. Everybody has to get along.
No, I mean, I talk to Edie about this all the time because once somebody crosses the line, and I think to myself, would they be crossing it with a man? But I digress. Anyway, once you cross that line, and I don't care how composed you are, it's in the back of your brain, you know?
Oh,
and it's in the back of your brain and, you know, because I always put myself in other people's shoes. Like, I don't think I would be speaking to somebody like that. I really don't. So, unless it's Comcast. I will have to say, unless it's Comcast.
Well, and you've been on hold for about an hour.
I've been on hold. Oh, the girls in my office, they used to hide when we first switched services, and they're like, "Oh, she's on with Comcast again. It's not good."
That's fantastic. You need to talk about the qualities you think. a person that at least that you exude, and that a person should have, to own their own firm?
Well, I'm going to go back to starting with that stick-to-itiveness, because nobody has all of the answers for any business at the moment they start out, no matter how much they think they know already. There's just so many things that you don't expect, or the way it comes up is not how you thought it would. So you have to stick to it, but you also have to roll with the punches, and you have to be flexible, and you
have
to...
What about dealing with failure? And I don't mean in the case.
Well, I was just going to tell you, you have to be able to step back and sometimes reassess. Like, okay, well, let's reassess this. And you have to be able to do that while remaining composed.
Yeah.
You can't panic.
Right.
You can't. You have to just be able to take that deep breath and say, well, all righty now. And I think in my, for me personally, one thing my husband says is that he's like, you have a really good ability of leaving behind the day when the people are really nasty. Because frankly, I deal with a lot of...
Stressed out people?
Well, I'm not even so much talking to clients. Sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes the opposing counsel or the adjusters are just impossible people sometimes.
Unbearable.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they know they're being that impossible. I'm not sure. I would hope that they don't know it. But you have to, I think, to be successful in business, and to maintain your personal life.
Right.
You have to be able to, create this dichotomy.
Maybe have a short memory.
No, you never forget.
No, you can't forget.
But
you have to be able to put it aside.
You have to be able to separate.
Yeah.
You have to be able to say, okay, well, you know what? That happened today, and that was something else.
Right.
I'm not going to say what it was. Something else. But when I take that hat off, even if it's only for a couple hours because I'm going to go back and do something later on in the day, if you take that hat off, you got to leave that with the hat.
Yeah.
And then you put your other hat on, and you have to really try to not let the one hat interfere with any of the other hats that you wear.
You're really good at that.
Because
I've come to you for advice many times on that. Because a lot of times I wear that hat for the rest of the night.
That's an interesting point. But sometimes, my buddy called me yesterday, and he had a stroke. He works at a pretty reputable auto sales place, and he's the number one salesperson, and he's divorced, so he has to sell. Okay.
Yeah.
He's been the number one salesperson he had a whole other career and switched over. Okay. 3 years ago, and he's the best. He had a stroke, and it took the eyesight out of his left eye.
Oh.
He's just coming back to work, and he's trying to get, and he lost his momentum, and he's in there. And he was having a bad day yesterday. He called me up, and then he called me up later, and he got, he had two sales in one day, and it totally changed. Sometimes, Edith, when you're having that day, okay, one good call, and you never, obviously, and next thing you know, you remember, you're like, okay, for that, that's behind me, let's rock and roll. But there are qualities, things that in your past, like in my sports background, not because I won all the time, but because sometimes we lost, or sometimes practice was hard, and I take that with me more than any success talk about, Paula, experiences in your life that made you the type of person you are, whether it was school.
Nothing. We're not putting you on the spot or anything, Paula.
I'm just saying.
You know.
Hey, listen.
Pick something.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was 100-yard dashes when I was in high school. I hated them with a passion, but I saw my coach one time and I said, "Coach, those 100-yard dashes that we ran, they're coming in handy right about now, 40 years later." I mean, maybe it's sports, maybe it's school.
For me, it was family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For me, it was the chemistry teacher who said,
"You'll never be anything."
No, he's like, "How badly do you want to pass this class?"
Uh-oh.
I mean, that's a good story.
Yeah.
Like, well, not that badly.
Well, I grew up in a single, my mother.
Yeah,
single parent. And everything was very lack-minded and struggle and, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that.
Sure.
And I just had it. And I said, "I'm not living my life like this."
Oh,
yeah, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, Edith?
Well, I had a different, you know, upbringing. And both my parents were very, you know, strong personalities and very supportive in, you know, in a lot of ways, but tough on me. I mean, also tough. You know, they expected excellence, and, you know, and you know, that was okay because I could do it.
Yeah.
So, right. But anyway. but I think that what built that up is, like, when I was young and I was, you know, in school, and, you know, school came fairly easy to me, and so I excelled in those things. And then when I started working, the fact that I was so severely underestimated really got to me sometimes. Because, I mean, listen, I'm not as petite then as I was then, now as I was then, but, you know, I was cute, I was young, and just constantly underestimated, which just made me want to work just that one bit harder to just really put it away with a with a bang.
Yeah.
Robin, we got about two. How much time we got? Oh, we got 4 minutes, Robin.
I'm thinking I'm with Paula. You know, my mom and dad didn't get divorced till I was 17, but I had my mother's work ethic, and I saw her struggle after the divorce. And I think that, you know, in the back of my head, I didn't want to depend on anybody but myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to this day. I mean, it's so nice when someone backs you up. And whether it's your life partner or your husband or children, but every once in a while I have to remind myself, you know what, you did this all by yourself.
Yeah.
And I guess that's good.
I guess it's good.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Credit. Huge credit.
I mean, to me, it's inspiring just to hear these stories. My definition of success is Edith Pierce, Paul Robinson, and Robin Lewison.
It's been a
phenomenal show. And I wanted to talk about that because success is not always born out of,
we're definitely not trust fund babies.
Right?
No.
Nope.
But it's always not born out of ease.
No.
I
always say, sometimes it takes a while to get the good things in life. Like, when it comes too easy, I don't know about you two, I question it.
You question
it?
I do.
Yeah, well, I'm always looking at everything with a little grain of salt. Just
right,
to make
me
sure
too.
It's all there.
Just make sure it's all there.
Yeah.
Copacetic, I think is how they say it.
So before we roll out on the fastest hour in radio across the board, Edith, remind our listeners of your contact information.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. Edith Pierce, the Pierce, P-E-A-R-C-E, law firm, 215-557-8686, or you can always find us on the web, www.thepiercelawfirm.com. Here for you every day of the week. We make sure that our clients are well taken care of because you are our priority.
Awesome. Paula Robinson?
Paula Robinson, Robinson Law. My phone number is 215-530-7166. And my web is www.robinsonlwyr.com.
Awesome.
And I'm here for you as well.
All right. Robin Lewison, not only do I want your contact information, take us home.
I'm going to, okay, 215-563-1315. And I just want to thank two of my faves for being here with me today.
Oh, you're
and
the best,
thank you,
Robin.
What's that?
You're the best, Robin.
Oh, thank you. And you're the best. And I'm so happy that we were able to do this.
Absolutely.
And happy holidays to both of you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you, Joe.
And to
ladies,
all.
It's been an absolute honor. I can't state enough. Happy holidays and continued success. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. I want to thank Edith Pierce, Paula Robinson, and Robin Lewison, who makes it all happen. On behalf of everybody here, I'm Joe Dougherty. Have a great day.